And so the Bible says that everybody likes to have, well, most people like to have a job description. We like to have something written right out. This is what you are expected to do. When you go get a brand new job and somebody tells you this is what you're supposed to do, my wife, when she used to be at Shield, she used to sit down and what she would orientate the new people at work. And she'd sit down and tell them all the things are expected. She'd give them policy manuals. She'll say, now you realize that you can buy things from the store that are for you. And you can buy gifts in the store for friends, but you cannot buy something and then sell it to somebody else because you lose profit and you're fired. No question about it. It's the way it is. Those are some policies. Policy says you got to be in a certain time. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to dress right. Isn't that amazing? Now, all these things had to be done. And she would sit for, man, I remember like 3-4 hours. She'd go through that policy manual and get the people working ready for work. And this is what you do. This is what you're expected of. It's nice to know what you're expected of. I wish that would happen when you get married. But I wouldn't have enough time to tell you all those things, ladies. Yeah, I was reading an article a while back. It said, young girl was writing things all she wanted, and she got so excited about it, she showed her boyfriend. And she said, I want to be able to this and that. And he got this and that. And he finally said, "Ma'am, what?" He said, "Ma'am, why don't you just go buy a TV? It'll entertain you," and whatever. And he had a whole bunch of stuff. Amen. But it's nice to have a description, a job description. Which, in fact, God gives a job description, very explicit about that, tells us what we're expected of doing. Everyone is, and everybody liked us to know that expectation. Everybody seemed to gain security when they know what is expected of them and what has to be done. And when you open the God's Word, it is very explicit to tell us precisely what God expects the Christian. I want to know what I'm supposed to be doing here. First of all, I found out something a long time ago. It's not about me. The Christian life is not about me. The Christian life is about elevating the Lord Jesus Christ as high as we can and singing praises on His name and telling others about the wonderful story. He came to this earth, died on the cross, and rose from the grave, and He has promised salvation to all who would trust Him as their personal Savior. Not of works as any man should boast. It's a gift of God. And Paul the Apostle, he got it right. He said, I know only this, that Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, and coming again. That's all I know. That's all I know. Come on in, buddy. Come on. Sit in there, buddy, grandpa and grandma. Amen. The Bible clearly tells us that, number one, we must love Him. Scripture teaches us that we're to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. The Bible says we're to delight in Him and have communion with Him. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Word of God. And in that law doth he meditate day and night. If you're not thinking about the Bible all the time, there's something wrong with you. It's because you don't have the Bible in you. My suggestion is to get an MP3 player. I think that Brother Jim got a whole bunch of MP3 discs you can have. We're free giving them out. And you can put it on your MP3 and have the Bible on, New Testament, Old Testament. And I know that I don't have my phone on me right now, but on my cell phone, I've got the Bible. It'll read to me. I can read it. Amen. I've got it on my iPad. It can read to me. I can read it. I got it on my computer. I got it on everything I can get. I have these little MP3 player that I bought at Christian bookstore that I turn it in. I put an earbud in my ear and go to sleep with it. Amen. You say, well, you're not hearing too much. And I may not hear too much, but I'll tell you what, this afternoon when I took a little nap, I went to sleep listening to the Word of God, and I got up listening to the Word of God. My brain's working all the time. When my wife had that ventricular cardiac arrest, and they did the CT scan on her. I forgot what it was. EEG, it was going like this. Her little brain was just like this. A couple days later, it was kind of going like this and it stopped, and going like this and it stopped. Your brain is constantly going, whether you're sleeping or you're awake, it's just going all the time, just like that. So, to hear the Word of God in my heart and in my ears, I believe it helped me. I used to take my little boys, my three boys, they'd be, man, I had a hard time getting them in bed. And well, we'd get them in bed finally, I had a little tape recorder, and I'd turn it on, and for 45 minutes, they listened to the Word of God before they went to sleep. Did that hurt them? No, helps them. When my wife was in the hospital and couldn't think and all those other things, we had the Word of God running in her ear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so Scripture teaches us that one of the things that I love Him, I want to listen to Him. He's talking to me. Talking to me. I am delighted to have the communication with Him. I am to walk the way that He's appointed me to walk. I must serve Him with all my heart and all my soul. I am to be cheerfully serving in His service. I suppose I will. Okay. Well, that's a blessing. Hey, son, go get this. Sure. Man, you like that. Whining and driving, complaining. You know what you'll say? I can do it myself. Get out of my way, boy. I don't want ever to God say, son, if you don't want to do it, I'll get somebody else to do it. Because I'm so far down on the wrongs of that of Christianity and everything, brother, I'll take every chance I get in. Well, I was playing football in college and first came into Pillsbury Baptist Bible College and they told us that freshmen could not start and freshmen could not do this and freshmen, it's the upperclassmen, to that. I don't like having a brand new uniform and sitting on a bench so somebody likes that and likes good seats at the football game. Not me. I want to get in there and pounce. I want to get in there and play. More than one time, my coach would say, "Would you get out of my way?" Because I was marching the line a little right along with him. And here it came, second game, one of the players got hurt, and he hollered to somebody, and somebody in here said, "I'm here, coach, I'm here." He said, "You don't even know how to play." I said, "I can play it." He said, "Go on out there," and I'd run by. He went like this, gave me a swift kick. And said, "Shear, I'll kill you if you don't do what you're supposed to do out there." And I believed him. I don't know about you, but I don't like to sit. I am not a spectator. I want to play. I want to do the things. And I'll tell you what, when God asks me to do something, bless God, I'm going to do it. Sometimes you get so tired. Sometimes you just say, "Well, I don't know, I'm just going to quit." All of a sudden God comes along and says, "Hey, son. Here's a biscuit, amen." You remember that little cartoon on TV where they throw that biscuit and that old dog goes, "Ow!" Remember that? That was me. Just give me a biscuit. I just want to do something. I want to do something for the Lord. I want to help somebody. I want to be around to be able to be a blessing and a help. And God said, I want you to love me. I want you to love the service that I give to you. I want you to cheerfully serve His service and do it with goodwill and be happy. I was sitting around today. I drove into the church and oh my goodness, I forgot to say something to the guys. We really need to trim up the lawn here. Man, if you got a little bit of time, you can have time to go help Ricky. You certainly have time to clean up God's house. Amen. But anyway, I'll tell you what, when you're done with that, come on over. Amen. I am commanded to keep all his commandments. By the way, I was into my barber the other day. I don't know if I've told you this or not, but he was saying, he was kind of smart to me, and I finally said, "Hey, I just want you to know, thou shalt not lie is a commandment, not a suggestion." He said, "I got it, Reverend." And when we do, we find that there is reward and honor and pleasure in obedience. There is nothing in your home so precious as a child being obedient. There's nothing that you want more than a child to be obedient. I talked to the other guy, and he said, "Man, I don't mind." I said, "Yeah, that's what your mama said. You just don't mind." But anyway, we must give honor to God and to Jesus. We must cleave as one who loves and delights and trusts in and from whom we have great expectations. In this great passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 10, we are taught that our duty is also to our neighbor. Boy, that's a wonderful challenge, amen? Especially if you have a neighbor like mine, or yours. God's common gift to mankind obliges us to honor all men. What God has given to us, it obliges us. It makes us want to do good to other men. That's all it's talking about. And those that are in distress should enjoy mercy as we found mercy with God when we were in distress. We should be ready to show kindness to those who are in like distress. A lot of people out there hurting today. A lot of people poor. A lot of people just don't know which way to turn. And I'm telling you what, if it's showing like it's going to show, it's going to get worse. Got a call from a little lady a while back, and I told one of our family in our church, and just like that, it got taken care of. What a blessing. What a blessing. But it's more blessing for that family that gave than the family that got it. I promise you that. What? Jesus said, we'll always have the poor. We'll always have. Why are the poor there? So that you and I can be thankful to God for what He's given to us and that we'll just share a little bit. Amen. I think a man ought to work as hard as he can and get all he can, amen. But I think that it ought to flow over that he says, you know what, God has been so good to me. I'm going to give some back. God teaches us our duty to ourselves. And He said, I want you to circumcise your heart. And what that meant was get rid of the corrupt affections and our corrupt inclinations which hinder us from fearing and loving God. By nature, we do not love God. Listen to me now. By nature, you and I don't love God. This is from our original sin. The source of all wickedness proceeds. Our carnal mind is enmity against God and is subject to the laws of God. Neither can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot, what? Please God. You can't please God. Until you realize you're a sinner and you need a great Savior. And when you get that great Savior to come into your heart and live there forever, you say, wow! I sure love my Savior. I sure love my God. Look at what He's done for me. He's promised to take care of me. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, and the troubles come. He said, I will not put you through anything you cannot withstand. Or I'll provide a way of an escape. That's God's promise to you. And when all everything is over, He said, I will take you to heaven. And I'll give you a mansion up there. How about that? I heard it one song, I can't remember it too well, but it talks about a man who came down a pauper and a beggar. And when he invited Jesus Christ in his heart, the blood of the King became saved and became a king. And now the blood of the King is flowing in his life. What a change. We don't have nothing, do we? We don't have nothing. God has given us everything. He just puts on a silver platter and says, here. And people say, well, I don't know if I can trust that or not. I just don't. You are out of your brain. What do you mean you can't trust Him? He says, I will save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Even David understood that when David is finishing up the Psalm 20, saying, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Young John said over there in John, 1 John, he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Wow, what a privilege. But all that boiled down and said, hey, God said, hey, there's the things that you need to do. Here's the things that you need to act upon. And I'm expecting to do that. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Before you were saved, you didn't have much life, didn't have much peace.
No.
Before you got saved, you were always kind of wondering. You thought about it, you questioned about it, but you didn't have any hope at all. No joy.
Amen.
But when a man gets saved, he has life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity or an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, he has no right to the throne of God. Whoever wrote Hebrews said, come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy in a time of need. It's a wonderful thing that we have Jesus Christ to be our Savior. It's a wonderful thing to know that if we die today, we're going to go to heaven. It's a wonderful thing that we know that we can go to Him and He'll forgive us of all our sins, for John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's a wonderful thing to say, you know what? I've got it made. When I was growing up, I was the only boy in our family. Oh my goodness, does that have rewards? I was spoiled. Rotten. I mean spoiled. Man, I'll tell you what. My sisters, yeah, they got stuff, but I'm going to tell you something. I was a king. I was king their parent, man. I was, whoo! Well, my daddy said, okay, we're going to put on this sign, Shear and Son. Put two more pounds on me, I would have blew up, amen. My sister didn't go to Breckenridge to the livestock barn with my dad. I did. My dad never passed the Dairy Queen without stopping. I always got a Dairy Queen.
Amen.
And coming back. Well, I better get one for the road, my dad would say, yeah, I think that'd be a good idea, Daddy. Spoiled. I can't explain it. And my sisters, they were so dumb, they'd spoil me. All I had to say, okay for you, and man, they do it for me. I knew how to work the system, okay. It was good. Then I get married. Holy smokes. She spoils me. She still thinks I'm cute and handsome and funny. Hey, what more does a guy want? My kids spoil me. You would hurry back to church, spoil me. But I got some good news for you. You can be spoiled just as much as I get spoiled. You can go before God and say, dear God, here's what's going on. I need some help. And He'll spoil you. Problem is, too many people do not believe that. And they just go down their life some living wickedly and some living, just living. I think of Methuselah. Read in the Bible in Genesis about Methuselah. And Methuselah was 969 years old and he died. Paul says about him. What did he do? 969 years. Probably sat on a tree and drank lemonade. I don't know. Didn't do much. Only thing is, he's the oldest man in the Bible. When he died, boy, that's a blessing. What are you doing for Jesus Christ? Amen. You know, Jesus wants to spoil the, you know, hey, you let your kid do something and they do something right, I guarantee you'll spoil them at home. You little snotty-nosed, rebellious little snot-snapper running around your house and gripe about this and gripe about that, I'll guarantee you, they ain't going to Dairy Queen. They might get the paint paddle, amen. Well, you said, preacher, that's not... Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God loves to be loved. When God created man, he created man for God himself to enjoy that would fellowship with him. And if you're not walking with him, oh, Enoch, man, he knew how to fellowship with God. They got so excited, they're walking one day, and the Bible said Enoch was not, for God took him. Someone said, what happened? I think they're walking along. Time got past them. They didn't understand what it was. Finally, he got close to heaven. He got close home. And Jesus said, you might as well just come with me. It's too far to walk home tonight. Amen. Anybody 300 and some years old and walking that many miles, bless God, he will need the help. Amen. We'll be spoiled people. We ought to be asking God, but in all that, we need to keep the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to keep his laws. We need to keep what he says. Well, I'm going to do that. Who do you think I am? You are a mortal. You are a creature that was created out of dust. And it won't be long. You're going to go right back to dust is dust. And ashes to ashes. The Bible said our life is like an eagle's flight. That's it. Life is over. It's like a vapor that quickly passes away. How in the world can it be September when just yesterday it was Memorial Day? Explain that one to me. Before you know it, it'll be Thanksgiving, Christmas, January 1st, 2013. Valentine's Day. I stop and think of chocolate. Amen. And Easter. And Memorial Day again. Our life just keeps faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. Some of you kids are waiting to be, grow up. Boy, enjoy being a kid. Enjoy playing in the mud. Yeah, preacher, I like playing in the mud with a four-wheeler and a motorcycle. Amen. I like that kind of mud, yeah. Enjoy them times with your son out hunting with them. Or fishing. Or going shopping with your daughter. Come on, girls, you're supposed to say amen. Wave your hanky or something. Just give the credit card to the girl. Let her go, amen. You spend all that money hunting. You ought to let that girl spend just as much on clothes. That's good preaching, amen. Better get back to my sermon here. I want you to look at this. Just got a few minutes. God says to fear. That's what it says, verse 10. Fear. Verse 12. And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of you? By the way, we're a spiritual Israel. We have been pulled out. And he says, first of all, to fear. That fear has got that Yahweh from the Hebrew, to be afraid. It's a terrible thing. It's a dreadful thing. It's a reverence thing. It's a fearful thing, a terrible act, to stand in awe, to respect, to cause astonishment, to inspire reverence, or godly fear to terrify. That's what it's talking about. Oh, there's so many people today that have no idea about the fear of God. Does God love us? Should God be feared? Yeah, listen. Your father, did you love your dad? But if you did something that he told you not to do, there was going to be payday someday, amen? Trains coming into the track. Boats coming into the harbor. Airplanes coming in the land. And here he comes. Boogada boogada. Boy, front and center. And after it was over, what happened? I hope he did this. I hope he threw down the switch or whatever he's using and took you by the arm and kissed you on your head and said, "Son, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to discipline you. I'm here to correct you. I'm here to get you through this crazy thing called adolescence and teenage. Because I want to deal with you. I don't want the judge to deal with you. I don't want the Cassidy County Sheriff's Office or the Great Falls PD coming to my house and saying, your son is in juvenile detention or your son is up at the county jail. I want the sheriff to tell me, you got a good boy." Amen. And I will tell you, good boys just don't come. They're molded. They're put in place. They're carefully finished. And they have the fear of the daddy. The later they'll have the fear of God and they'll have the fear of government. Driving down the road, says 70 miles an hour. You put the thing on 70. I told a lieutenant the other day. He said the other day, he said, "I was coming across the state of Montana," and he said, "There was a highway patrolman in front of me, and she was going 65 miles an hour in a 70 zone. Guess what he did? Passed her, waved at her, kept going. She had a right to do that. Why? Because he was going the speed limit. They're not afraid of anything. Don't scare me. Put your tool down the road, some highway patrol's going 65 and you crank her up about 90. By the way, state law says you can bring it up 10 miles an hour over the speed limit to pass. In other words, at 70, you can go 80. When you get in, yeah, that's state law. So you guys said, "Man, I'm going to go passing people all the time, amen." Yeah. Oh. It'll take me long to get the Bozeman, amen. You have no fear. Today somebody said, "Hey, preacher, you don't have a tail light, a brake light." I go, now they will pull you over. You know why they want to pull you over? See if you're drinking. Boy, they're going to be disappointed. But I'm going to get that fixed tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. I can't. I got to be gone someplace. I'm not going to take. Mom and I are going to wait. Tomorrow is one of the greatest rodeos in Montana at White Sulphur Springs. It is the last PRCP rodeo. This is where they all do their finals so they can go to the Cowboy Christmas out in Nevada. So if you want to go to a great rodeo, my wife and I pulled in it 2 years ago, pulled up there, and they said, "Hey, thanks for coming to our rodeo. I hope you really enjoy it." Go to some rodeo, he said, "Give me your money, get out of our way." They said, "Man, we're glad you came." So while you guys are building fence, me and Mom are going to watch them buck. Amen. You know, folks, it doesn't scare you when you're in the law, when you're doing right. Hey, you want to say bad things about me? Go ahead. As long as I'm doing right. Boy, when you say something and I'm doing wrong, I'm going to defend myself. "No, I didn't! That wasn't me!" Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how it works, right? So the Christian, it is our responsibility to fear God. To fear Him. What else does the Bible say? The Bible says not only fear God, but God tells us to fear the Lord thy God, the Jehovah. Proper name, our true God. Somebody says, God. Who's this God? Say Jehovah. They'll just take care of it, all right? Who do you believe in? I believe in Jehovah God. Amen. And God tells us to fear the Lord thy God, to walk. That means to go, to come, depart, away, follow, get, lead, brought, carry, bring, to follow, to walk in all His ways. That's got a great word. It means head towards it. Some of us not going to hit it just right. Some of us just going to blow a tire or something. Some of us just going to get off a dirt road. But at least we're going towards it. I'd rather have guys go to, one man said, it's better to shoot at something than shoot at nothing and miss. Sometimes people just don't go towards doing right. They didn't really give them care. He said, I want you to go the direction. I want you to go the distance. I want you to make it a habit, a way of your life, to always go towards God. Then God tells us to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to, what? Love Him. I don't know about you, but I love to be loved. I love to be loved. I came into church and all these little tricycle motors and little guys of our church come up and grab a hold of me and, hey! You preacher? Oh man. What do you want, kid? You know. Grandson tells you he loves you. Granddaughter tells you he loves you. I was sitting at McDonald's and eating dinner with a couple friends of mine, and my two little granddaughters came in, and the boys were watching them. They were in uniform. And those little girls come running up and say, Papa, Papa, I love you, I love it. One's 14 and one's 12. You know what that did to me? I'm cool. I'm the number one pop. It's good. Yeah. 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 I love to be loved. I was in Walmart and a guy in his 40s said, Hey, Dr. Shear, that's my preacher. Crazy guy was in our vacation Bible school about 30 years ago. Right. This word love, ahab, aheb, that's a Hebrew way of saying it. Can you say ahab? There, you're bilingual, you man. It means, it has this idea of love to lovers, to friends, to beloved, to liked, lovely, loving, human love for another, include a family. I love this. Human appetite for objects such as food. God said, I'm supposed to love Him just like I like food, man. I must really love God. Amen. It has this idea of human love for or to God, act of a being as a friend, a lover, a particular friend. You have a particular friend you really love. Hope it's your wife or hope it's your husband, but to have somebody really your buddy. David met Jonathan, and the Bible said their heart was knit between each other. Amen. I can't wait for you to introduce you to Rudy Smith. I'm telling you, he's just a great guy. I wish you could meet my cousin Dwayne, who died of cancer. Oh, what a friend. On and on of guys that good friends. And God says, I want you to love me like you love your best friend. By the way, your best friend God doesn't go out and tell everybody about everything about you. He doesn't make life unbearable. He's a wonderful God. Then God tells us to fear the Lord with thy heart and to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God. And this, Abba, this means that it is my responsibility to be God's servant. Amen. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. We are not here on planet Earth for each other. We're here on planet Earth for God. And thank God we get to bump into each other and get to enjoy our love and our friendship together. But it's not about us. Heritage Baptist Church is about God and serving him. So what? I was thinking this morning, I preached that sermon about God said that we're going to be like sheep amidst the wolves. And I was given different characteristics about sheep this morning. I was walking out and I thought of this. Sheep have thin skins. And if they get hurt, they die real quick. And how many Christians tonight are out of church and not here because they have thin skin and somebody bumped them or rubbed them raw? One night the dogs got in our sheep. We had about 200 ewes along with lambs. Dogs got in our sheep and they killed 47 that night and wounded 100 of them, over 100. We brought those sheep home. My dad meticulously kept babying those sheep all summer long. Made and make it. And there's a lot of Christians out there that are just little babies. They just don't have it yet. They're not rhinoceros skin Christians yet. They're just really thin skinned sheep. And it is my responsibility to shepherd and your responsibility to help me with those young little ones. Oh, I know they don't talk like they should sometimes. And they don't smell like they should sometimes. And they don't act like, and they don't go where they're supposed to go. And sometimes they just get out. That's a shepherd's job and the leader's job to get them back. Amen? So God says we are to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul. We're to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God. And if I serve you, then I'm serving God.
Amen.
Listen to me. If I'm serving you, I'm serving God. If you're serving me, you're serving God. Pretty good deal, amen? And we have forgot. We live in a spectator world where everybody comes and watches a few little guys on the ball diamond, out in the football field, or on a basketball court, or a hockey rink, and all the thousands of people watching. And God says, no, you're not to sit and watch. You're to pick up the shovel, pick up the fork, get on the tractor, and you're supposed to do your work. And not wait for somebody else to do it. It's called character. This church was not built by people that sit back and watched. This church was built by men and women who would come night after night and work hard. And some couldn't work until some sent us pizzas. Go, Roy and Carol! And some couldn't go, but some could go out and get a little hat like Grandma Morris and pass it around. And get a offering so we could put some 2x4s up here. Not everybody is capable of certain kind of work. And not everybody is called to what God has called you to do, but it is your responsibility to do what God wants you to do and not to worry about what whoever does, whatever they're supposed to do. Character says, I'm going to wake up when it's early and I'm going to get my job done. And I'm going to work hard so I can go play hard.
Amen.
That's character. Character says, I got to have this house cleaned before tomorrow morning. Character says, I got to have these clothes done before tomorrow. I said, I saw a little sign on somebody's house that says, clothes washing. Either clothes are washed or naked tomorrow. Well, I guess it's kind of true, you know. Just certain things in life. When my great-grandfather came up and homesteaded in Michigan, they would cut 8 cords of wood. And don't you dare take the front wood off those cords. That was for Grandma if she needed to go outside and get the wood. The men always went in the back and brought it this way, amen. 8 cords of wood. Grandpa realized that if you cut 8 cords of wood, then you ought to 8 cords of wood again. And so what he had 16 cords of wood, and he used off, you put the new one down, but you use the old wood a year ago. So there's always 16 cords of wood at the beginning of the fall. You know what? He never had cut wood in the miserable weather. Some of you girls are canning now. God bless you. Getting ready for the winter. It's coming. Welcome to Montana. 9 months of snow and poor sled and 3 months of crazy relatives and friends. Amen. We're to be servants. And we're to have a servant heart. And we're to look for ways that we can be servants to others.
Amen.
God said, listen to me. I want to tell you something. I want you to serve the Lord. I want you to give everything you got. To fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him and to serve the Lord thy God. Tell me the next couple words there. 4 words. With all thy heart. Father in heaven, I pray tonight that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to realize the great responsibility we have before you, and that is to live to you. Lord, help us love you. Help us to fear you. Help us to do the things that we're supposed to do. Help us be very careful that we as Christians encourage the little ones. Be careful of the little lambs. And Lord, be careful of these sheep that go astray, that we would bring them back to you. God, I pray you'd help us, give us a great week. Lord, may we rejoice to the fact that you love us. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. You're here tonight. Maybe you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Maybe there has not been a time that you said, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins and come into my heart. Are you saved tonight? Are you on your way to heaven? Say, preacher, I just really don't know that. Well, you know, that's a pretty good question for somebody to ask you. Because you are going to die. The Bible says it's appointed on a man wants to die and then the judgment. So what are you going to do with the judgment? You get to heaven and God says, why should I let you in? You ought to have a good answer for that. You better have a good answer for that. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Right there where you're sitting, you can pray and ask Jesus Christ, forgive your sins, and ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart. And you say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now.
And if you did that, Jesus Christ said, I will put your name in the book of life. And it will be there forever. You're here tonight and say, preacher, boy, I just really want to serve God. I just want to do what I should be doing. Read the scriptures. Deuteronomy 10, 12, 13. Pretty simple. Sure is simple to do what God wants you to do. Father Heaven, bless this time and help us during the invitation time. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to stand your feet. Here tonight and say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that. Music's going to play. I'm going to invite you to step out of that seat, walk down and say, preacher, tonight I want to follow the Lord Jesus. I want to accept Him as my Savior tonight. Why don't you come? Are you on your way to heaven? If somebody asked you today, if you died today, where would you go? What would you tell them? Well, I'm not sure. Well, then let me show you from the Word of God how you can be sure. Here tonight, you say, preacher, I've been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Why don't you come? Here tonight, you say, preacher, we'd like to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time?